Hi, this is Nobo A. Calypso, and it is a day after Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Mahalo akua. Mahalo akua. Mahalo means to give great gratitude and thanks, and akua means spirit. And so we've been doing a lot of mahalo akua, and I do hope that everyone has had a wonderful Thanksgiving. I know the holidays are approaching, and sometimes it can be a rather pensive time for people. And I'd like to remind everybody that if within the physical form, if you feel lonely, you have to remember that it's impossible for us all to be alone. It's not to minimize a person's loneliness, but we're so connected to everything. We're connected as a whole that it's absolutely impossible for anything on this planet to be alone. So during these holidays until mid January, please, if you do feel that melancholy, think that mostly perhaps you're measuring yourself with television shows and ideals that other people live by, and it doesn't necessarily mean it's your ideal, but try to uplift yourself from that illusion of being alone, because it really is impossible. And we all have such an impartial benevolence and love from the universe that for us to think that we're alone is everything against the movement in the universe and the movement in nature. If you do feel a little isolated, please get out and enjoy nature, or go see a comedy. But don't allow a perception to weigh on you that will conceptualize the state of being alone, because you're not. And when we ask for energies to come to us, however you want to term that, in companionship, it comes. So don't. Please don't feel alone. We're all connected into a very large network. And try to uplift yourself into that network. And mostly don't measure yourself to other people's ideals. Now, this evening, I welcome people to call in later on in the show. This evening I do have a guest. Her name is Dr. Pia Lieb, and she's I hate to use the word dentist, but and maybe she'll correct me, but she's a dentist from New York, and she has an office on Fifth Avenue, and we're mostly going to have an uplifting show of talking about individual beauty, because my message to people is to resonate in your fullest patterns, in your own individual patterns. And please remember that nature never makes two things identical, although there's a sameness that we're allowed. Well, I really shouldn't use the word allowed, but we're it's just what and who everything is on this planet speaks individuality. And my message to my clients all the time is to resonate within your individual vibrations, and try not to go with the tribe, or try not to go with tribal thinking, or a new fad, or a new this or new that, only because it's, you know, fads change so much, and you'll never really discover who you are. Because you'll be swept into, okay, well, this is current, and that's not current, and this is current, and that's not current. And sometimes a lot of people, especially in America, spend so much time chasing fads and what is in and what isn't. And that's mostly a tribal, anthropological condition, because we don't want to be separated or rejected from the herds. But we're still individuals, and that's how we're seen in nature. We have a connection to all, but we have individual energy that resonates through us. So when Pia is in Los Angeles right now, She's usually in New York, and she'll be joining us shortly. And she's a very upbeat and positive, beautiful woman from New York who likes to share her message. And so as we're waiting for her to join, I guess that I'll continue speaking to you. I sent out a mass emailing if anybody would like to be on my email list. Sometimes I send out mass emailings depending on my intuition. And in the beginning part of November, I sent out a mass emailing to people and friends and let them know that November is a fantastic month for building. And a lot of people during this time of year will procrastinate. They'll put things off until after the new year. And unfortunately, that gets poo-pooed and poo-pooed and poo-pooed and poo-pooed. And I have to remind you that that's not the way nature moves. Nature moves within the now. And there's no energy or force in nature that stops and waits, you know, for people to catch up. Nature just continues moving. The energies just continue moving. So if we pull out of the energies and wait, say, oh, well, you know, after the holidays, you know, I'll do this, this, and that. That's, we really have to have completion within the cycles of this year. We have to, as the September, October, November, December, each month afforded us a chance to bring to a close things that were no longer beneficial to us and to open up new beginnings. September was a large transformation month, and a lot of people had a great deal of difficulty, mostly because they were unwilling to let go of certain things in life, and mostly because the things that were around them, they no longer needed for the positive flow in their life. So September brought that in, then October brought in a chance for, it was like a pendulum swing to decide what your opportunities are and what your choices are in life, and you could see them as challenges or not. So November then brings in very large master building. This is a month to build. And then in December, December is a freedom month to get out and to explore. I think I hear Dr. Pierre.
I'm on.
Okay. To the listeners, this is Dr. Pia Lieb. And Dr. Pia, I always say, you know, I think of you more as Pia, as my friend and client Pia. And I never know when to say, well, she's a dentist or, you know, when someone has a doctor in front of their name, I'm a little hesitant to say she's just a dentist. And that's not minimizing it, but I'm sure that there's something more. So what I'm going to do is give you an opportunity to say hello to people and let them know who you are, and then we'll start our conversation.
Okay, well, hello, everyone. I'm Dr. Pia Lieb. I'm a practicing cosmetic dentist in New York City. And, yes, there's a lot more than just cosmetic dentistry in this world and in this lifetime. So Bryce and I agree on the basic principles of life and humanity, and I'm sure we can go into more topics. But I'm very excited at the fact that I've finally figured out how to get on the Skype with not having any Wi-Fi in the last 15 miles of driving in two different locations. So I made it, and I'm happy to be on.
What?
Nothing's impossible in life, Bryce. You know that.
Yeah,
nothing's impossible.
Yeah. Yeah, especially when P is at the steering wheel. One of the things I was telling the readers is I'm very strong about people making individual choices in their life, what resonates with them, and not necessarily going for a tribal movement. And I know one thing that and people just kind of move from fad to fad to fad to fad to fad. And I don't necessarily feel as if that's the right way to go. I feel as if the right way to go is more or less being an individual, and what's important to the individual? What does the individual feel would bring out more of their inner qualities? And I know that in cosmetic dentistry, I just wonder if a lot of people come in and say, "Oh, we heard that bleaching the teeth are a really good thing, and doing this and doing that." How many, when you sit down and talk to them, do you have individual consultations and work with them to really bring out who they are instead of going with how the wave in the tribes are moving?
Oh, absolutely. First and foremost, the number one, usually I do about all my first consultations are, believe it or not, an hour and a half, because it's not just about a person coming in and saying, which is basically what they all do come in and say, is, "I want to have a smile like so-and-so." Off the top of my head, who's got a fabulous smile? Christy Brinkley or whomever other celebrity might be. The problem is everyone is an individual, and everyone has what's right for them. What's right for you may not be right for me, and vice versa. Well, that works for everybody. So the most important thing is to find out what's important to that person, and basically it's what's inside. And getting back to what you were discussing prior, going from fad to fad, and okay, this season we're wearing over the knee thigh highs because that's what's in and that's what the fashion magazines say. Don't get me wrong, I have them, they're fun, they're fabulous, but they're just a fad. As long as you know that a fad is a fad, and it's basically just fun for the moment, and you take it as is, then you're okay. If you try to take something like a fad and turn it into your own personal, wow, if I do this, it's going to make me feel better about myself, or it's going to solve all my problems, or the fact that I don't get along with my husband if I go out and buy a pair of thigh highs, that's going to resolve the problem. That's not. The problem is you have to, like, sit down and do a little bit of soul searching and find out, what do I really want?
Right. Right. And I'm sorry. That's my Moluccan cockatoo. There's some young men here who are visiting her, and she's 16 years old, so she's like a little teenager going crazy. So quiet right now.
I thought it was me. I thought it was all my fault. All right, I'm not taking the blame this time. No, but it's really important that, you know, when a patient comes in and we do a lengthy consultation, what is it that you're looking for? What is it that you want? And I think that works not only in cosmetic dentistry, where I think any type of, whether it's cosmetic dentistry or cosmetic surgery or anything that's enhancing you, makeovers, getting Botox, anything that you, that person feels like it's a self-improvement vehicle or tool, you need to find out if it's a quick fix, something that pacifies an underlying problem, or is that truly something that's going to enhance your life. I'm not saying I believe in what I do. I love what I do. I think it works beautifully. We've come so far in dentistry in general. Not even mentioning cosmetic dentistry, where we basically now can do anything on an individual basis. But again, it's individual. Everyone is different. Just like with you, you identify everyone with their numerology.
Right.
It's not everybody's a number three.
Right.
So therefore, not everyone can have teeth like number threes.
So in their decision making, what I try to express to people is to go see a professional, because you're trained with this. Because a lot of people now, yesterday I went to two different houses for Thanksgiving to see friends and clients and people that I love, and there was a long table, and there was this guy with long hair at the end of the table, and my friend introduced me to the people I didn't know. And he said, he asked me about my mystical numerology. And he said to me, I wish that they would do a decent software program so that we can have a better understanding of this. And I said to him, you need to go to a master, because in the computer, it's silicone and it's switches. And the thing about the work that we do is that it's a tool that's based on an intuition and passion that I have, and a computer can't do that. Now, the reason why I'm bringing this up, because a lot of people are trying to make their discoveries over the internet, when I think, look at yourself as an individual. Treat yourself as the supreme, wonderful individual you are, and give yourself that opportunity to go to a professional who knows this field and sit down and talk to him or her, like with your work.
Oh, no, it's the same thing with us. It's just like, Bryce, what you and I do cannot be duplicated by a computer. They've been trying for the last 15 years to have computer-generated crowns, veneers, and inlays and onlays, and I'm assistant professor at NYU. We did all the research on it. They're still not as perfect. They don't fit as well as something that is made in a laboratory by a technician, which is a human being that sits down there and sculpts it in porcelain by hand and bakes it in an oven. That is not, a computer cannot sit there and grind a piece of porcelain to match exactly the integrity of your tooth. That's just not, they can't do it. It's still a machine. And the same thing goes with you. There is no way that a computer, it can probably give you a general, I mean, am I wrong in saying this, that it can give a general outlook of your numerology, the programs?
I've never found them to be accurate. I've seen that the programs are based on, upgrade to $29.95,
oh, yeah,
so you can find out more about this stuff. And I find that extraordinary. Speaking on those lines, I think one of the things that I'm very, very bothered about, and I think has created a lot of stress in our society, is that the corporations are more geared to globalization. They're more geared to getting product out on a huge, massive level, and we're all suffering with quality. We're not getting the quality that we need, but if people are informed, you know, look, we deserve quality. Just because corporations are doing this doesn't mean that we deserve this. And it's the same with people looking at their teeth.
Oh, I agree. Totally.
It's a sense that we're not really being treated within our worth as long as we lean towards that large commercialism. And in all big businesses today, the customer is not at the top of the they're not at the top of the list. Globalization is, the working with the product is, yada yada yada, and this is really long list. And when I look at the list, I look for, well, where's my part in this? You know, I'm the one who's paying this money, so where's my part? And darned if I haven't found where I fit in. So that's why I always try to tell people, you're an individual. In the movement of the universe and in the movement of nature, you are grand, you are glorious, you are beautiful. And if we have another movement that just wants, you know, for you to open up your pocketbook to give you some mass marketed whatever, go further. Like, go see Pia, sit down, talk with her, and treat yourself to an entitlement of how the universe treats you, because that's how the universe sees all of us, with this beautiful, impartial benevolence. And the universe doesn't feel, not that all the stars have a feeling, but the main thing in the universe is we are so spectacular and we're so incredible that we deserve to have the best. And so I feel that we have to start seeing that and don't let the industrial revolution, the mass marketing, the commercialism pull us away from that. What are your feelings about that?
You know, I'm can you hear me? Am I just making a lot of noise right now? Do I sound strange?
No.
Okay.
No.
What I'm feeling is I'm a small boutique practice on Fifth Avenue, New York. I'm not mass. I don't have associates. It's just me, myself, and I, basically. The old-fashioned private practice, the way it was meant to be when you sign up to go to either dental school or med school. But my generation, and I'm not going to say how many years ago I graduated dental school, but it's been quite a few, actually. They got into that corporate world, and what they wound up doing is they either pooled in associates or pooled doctors, and this goes for dental or medical. And they basically had started these large practices with every specialty. It's basically the supermarket one-stop shopping. You go in, you have the endodontist who does the root canal, you have the oral surgeon who does the extractions, you have the cosmetic restorative, you know, dentist as myself, then you have the orthodontist for your children. You go in, it's one-stop shopping, everybody pulls all the money, they've got 12 chairs, there's 40 people in the waiting room, every doctor sees, because it's all production, 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 everybody sees, you know, anywhere between 20 to 80 patients a day. Look, honestly, I don't want to go to a doctor that has seen 40 patients before me. And I say this as one. You can't see that many people a day and do the quality work that you would if you saw 6, 5, 8 patients a day. It's just not the same. Those guys back in the 90s and in, you know, up till now, they were the ones doing all the money, and the little small private practices as myself, it was never about the money. It was always about, this is what I'm here to do, this is what I love to do, and the patients are happy, satisfied, and they refer everyone. There's no advertising, there's no going out and giving off 20%, and that goes the same thing for you, Bryce. There's so many people that giving out pamphlets on the streets in New York City, and I'm sure I'm in in LA right now. I'm sure here as well. They're trying to bring people in to give $20 and $30 off to have volume so they can produce.
Right, and that's
not
the thing
about that.
Right, that's the thing we're dealing with today, where we have to pull out of. We have to jump off the conveyor belt.
Yes,
we have to say no. I am not going to be part of this mass production. I am an individual, and I want to be treated as an individual because I deserve it. But that's the whole thing. It is like that conveyor belt, kind of like that, the Pink Floyd song.
Exactly. But the problem is people have to have the consciousness and the awareness to realize that one-stop shopping is not normal. And you can't go to someone who's going to tell you that they're... Okay, I'll give you the biggest example that infuriates me, and it has nothing to do with dentistry. Plastic surgery, okay? The medical field are running around trying to get as many patients humanly possible to try to get plastic surgery procedures on. You know, there's the 90210 show on E, there's so many plastic on Discovery, et cetera, et cetera. The thing is, dermatology specialty is doing plastic surgery. General practitioners are doing it. Plastic surgeons are doing it. General surgeons are doing it. I've actually even seen people on television, on the news, that were podiatrists doing it, Botox. Okay? I'm sorry. Where do we draw the line? Why?
So they're looking at volume.
They're looking at volume. They're looking at what can I do to make the $1 million a year so I can have the best life that I can have. And it's honestly, the $1 million is not going to make you happy. Money does not make you happy. You are the only person that can make yourself happy. They'll
right,
get to that point, and then they'll find something else to be unhappy about, and then they're going to want more and more. And it's just not a healthy way to perceive your life. Less likely something that you were trained to do to help people. We were trained to help, to cure, and to fix. We weren't trained to think, how much money did I produce today? I have no clue how much I make a day. I have no clue how much I make a week. Nor do I have a clue how much I make a month. That's what my accountant does. I treat people. That's what I do. And that's the way it should be. Not, oh, okay, How much production am I getting today? Well, let me try to sell another procedure. I don't want to I don't understand why people that are gynecologists are doing breast implants. What does one have to do with the other? Or if you're an ears, nose, and throat specialist, you're doing abdominal liposuction. That shouldn't be your field. That should be, you shouldn't be allowed to do it.
No,
stick to what you stick to what you do, and darn it, do it well. Do it to the best of your ability, and be proud of what you've done.
Now, when people get that individual attention, the way that I feel about that is when you treat yourself as an individual, when you treat yourself as special, when you really identify that, you know what, I really am a glorious, wonderful being. Because we feel this energy from the heart. And then when we manifest that energy and say, okay, I'm going to go to Dr. P. I'm going to go and have myself treated as I treat myself. Aren't those, to me, that's more energy that's given to them. Like you're giving them the individual attention. You're speaking to them as an individual. And that does it does one thing primarily. It enhances the positive of being an individual. And that's what I think so super about what you do, because I feel that we all need to jump off the conveyor belt, stop patronizing these corporations that just want the money, and they keep upping the prices. And here we're having economic troubles, and there's been a lot of corporations that have cut down on the quantity and increase the price, and we have to decide that I don't treat myself that way. I'm not going to allow someone else to treat me that way. And that's a strong practice of HUNA, where you just don't digest that. You don't say, oh well, I deserve this inadequate product because that's the way the world is. We people make the world what it is.
Absolutely.
Today.
Absolutely. And the other thing is you get to that point where you have to understand that everyone is entitled to get the best quality. And when you are seeing, when you're in a large, first of all, medical field, anybody that's in it should not be in it if they think that they want to be a corporation. It is not the type of profession that was ever designed to be anything other than one-on-one individual private attention. Doctor-patient. That's why we have doctor-patient confidentiality, et cetera, et cetera. But getting back to this, it's something else if you speak to a patient and you focus on that human being for everything they have to say, everything they project, their body language, everything. You sit down and you really get into that person and let them communicate and open up to you. That is a different passing of energy. Do you agree with me?
Right, right. And then you work with the patient based on that individuality.
Of course, absolutely. There's no other way of doing it. As where if they're seeing 40, 50 patients a day, and there are how many listeners out there? Let's be realistic. Go in, and this is my pet peeve, okay? And the doctors pop in and out of the exam rooms. I don't have that. I never pop out. I stay with the patient the whole entire time. That annoys me. Oh, excuse me. And I'm like, I'm sorry, you're going to see another patient? Yes, because we need to wait for the results of some. So in that moment that you're waiting for an x-ray or for whatever test result that you're expecting to have, you're waiting for it back, speak to the patient. Find out what's inside, what's bothering, what's not bothering, what are they looking for, are they in pain, are they in emotional pain, find out about their family life, find out about everything, emotional, spiritual. It's not only let's Band-Aid everybody
right
and send them home, take two aspirins and call me
right
in the morning. That's not about
right
that. Never has
right
been. But that's right what the corporate world is.
Right. And our, but the whole thing that I'm alarmed about is that our system is, okay, why don't I just look at these professionals as, okay, I'll drop my body off, and then I want everything fixed by 6 o'clock so I can continue with my busy life.
Pretty much
and
it.
That's, yeah, and that's, that we have to get out of that type of thinking, because there are, like, this conveyor belt mass marketing type thing is why there's the onset of more complications and more complications and more complications and more complications.
You know what, Bryce? The other thing that I have to say is I think that people have to stand up for their right to be treated as an individual.
Right.
Because they need to ask for it. A lot of people have gotten into this. My analogy is it, everybody in the 90s and in, you know, the early millennium until the market crash last year, everybody was running on that treadmill so fast. A, they were afraid of competition on the right, competition on the left that was going to take their work away, and it was never enough. It was never enough. You could never have a house that's big enough. You could never have enough cars. You could never have multiple homes. You know, at the end of the day, how many cars do you drive at the same time? I understand having an SUV if you have children, having, you know, a sedan, having two cars if you're a family, three cars, however many you need for the family. But as an individual person, why do you need 6-7 cars?
Right.
And everybody got on that treadmill, and that's what it's the treadmill. And that what happens is I almost feel like their endorphins were going and going and going. And they were on that endorphin high that you get from running. And people forgot to get off the treadmill and just smell the roses and enjoy their life the way it was meant to be enjoyed. Enjoy. Take a breather. Take a small weekend away. Just be grateful and enjoy what you have. Then you may not need so much.
Yeah, I see it as like what's been going on. I see it exactly as a movement in nature, where when quantity gets too high is when nature comes in and uses another force to take down that quantity. And so our American society, if we didn't have such high demands and high wants and high desires based on a lot of commercialism to say that we're self-inadequate if we don't have this, this, and that. And you know, they have neuroscientists that are working for these corporations of trying to finding ways of getting more into our brain and making us feel insecure and self-inadequate. And that's when you're exactly right. We go onto their treadmill. We go onto their conveyor belt.
And you're never off.
Right. And our intuition is like, no, there's something wrong here. And if your intuition says that, be the individual and look into it. If your intuition feels I'm going too fast, you know, there's something pulling me along, I feel like I'm on a leash, then stop and examine this and do something about it. But I think that the American condition does have to change. We have to get off these conveyor belts, and we have to demand that we are an individual, and we want to be treated as an individual. I want to be treated with the respect of myself being an individual as much as I treat other people as an individual. And this country is supposed to be based on the individual, not the corporations. And I think that we've allowed, so to speak, a ring to be put in our nose, and we need to each person decide, no, I'm not going to stand for this anymore. You know, I'm not going to be on this conveyor belt.
Well, you know what? I think a good exercise would be, Bryce, if people just, first of all, they need to wake up and say, wow, let me take a half an hour for myself. People need in this country to make time for themselves. They get so engulfed in work, family, they forget their sense of self. And I right. think it's really important if once a week you take 15 minutes for yourself and go, wow, let's see, what am I grateful for? What do I have? What can I do for myself that would make my life be easier or more fulfilled? Look at what really makes you tick. What makes you happy? Is it the smile on your children's faces? Is it an extra pair of shoes? Is it being in the right job that you enjoy going to work every morning? What makes you happy? Write it down on a piece of paper and come back and look at it after a couple of days. And then maybe you can build that list a little bit more, but start doing the little soul searching. It's so important. People get on that treadmill and forget. And I think that is, right. That is the step that we can get into finding ourselves again.
Right. And December, in November, is this incredible month for building. And I spent the first 2.5 weeks in November to build. You know, just to start building on something new. When December comes along, this is a time to take what one has built and explore new things, new areas, new ideas, new thought processes. But it is based on the individual movement. So you're correct in taking that time, because especially in December, people are getting caught up in this seasonal jolly, and it's lasting longer and longer and longer and longer. Like, it's starting now right after Halloween, it's going to almost the second week in January, and that is it's causing a lot of people to self debilitate, where their concern is for family, their concern is for socializing, their concern is for gifts, their concern is for having enough money to do this, having enough money to do that. And I think that people self-debilitate during this time, why the corporations and the stores are really counting on this to, you know, make up for a year's slow-paced movement. But if people sense in any way that they're self-debilitating, if they can't find that center within their heart, if it's covered up with all this stress, all this anxiety, all this faster treadmill movement, yes, it is a time to stop. And for yourself, look into the newness that you want to create for yourself in 2010. And that's what December is going to be about. Looking for the newness, but not in Macy's, not in Walmart. Look for the newness for you to create a change so that you could go forth in 2010 and find opportunities and greater choices instead of conflicts.
But you need to clean up the clutter. You know, that's really important, that you need to clean up the clutter. And people have so much clutter, Bryce. And everything just gets Band-Aid after Band-Aid after Band-Aid. And, you know, it's time to clean all that up so you can find what's... It's like peeling an onion, pretty much. You peel one layer at a time to find what's within, and then you can find even ideas. Do you agree with me that ideas will come to you when you get rid of all that stress and anxiety? And it's so easy to do it. All you have to do is just go in and breathe. Today, I was running trying to get here, right?
Mm-hmm.
I got on, okay, a little flustered, but I breathed and I made it. I was 5 minutes late, but I did it. That's the whole point with this as well, with the newness. Any change that we have in life can be a little stressful. Do you agree with me?
Right. And that's why it really has to begin. The change has to come from inside. And yes, things have to be let go of. When we look at the months in the year, there's cycles. And it's a pathway. When you go from 1 to 12, every month, every week, every day is a pathway, and we should allow ourselves to go into this the new velocity or the new energy of each month. For instance, what you were saying about letting go is in September was a very large month for people to, what you're saying, clean out the closet. It was a inner attic cleansing time. It was time for that transformation. So a lot of people experienced a lot of difficulty in September if they weren't willing to let go of things that really aren't going to have an importance in their life. So if they didn't let go of these things or clear out come December, when it's time to look for that interchange to find something new. It's more or less find something new about self. Find that variety in self. Be a little bit more explorative, but in with an adventurous spirit. Because no matter what, the positive always drowns out the negative. But when we go forth in December, it's time to go forth to say, okay, I'm not going to self-debilitate during the holidays. I'm not going to feel stressed, but I'm going to go forth for regeneration, for a newness of my spirit. That's what December is going to be about.
No, I totally agree with you. I mean, I'm happy I cleaned out my clutter in September, as you very well know. It all worked out. I am living proof of cleaning out the clutter in September.
Yeah, it was hard. It was a hard month for a lot of people.
And you know what? Everything happens for a reason, even if we can't figure it out right now.
Right. Yeah, we don't have to have all those answers.
But
to get back to our theme, if we look at ourselves as an individual, we will look at our intuition as being more important than, say, a mass consciousness move, a tribal move, a selfless herd move, a conveyor belt move. And that's what I'm trying to emphasize, is treat yourself as that individual. Feel the intuition and know that you're a very special being and you deserve the best. But it is your choice to decide if you want to seek for the best or if you want to jump on the conveyor belt.
Well, you know, today being, Black Friday. Today is a perfect example, Bryce, with the herd. It's funny because I went to a lecture 2 weeks ago. That was it was a dental lecture, and it was about patient management, which was very intriguing, and it was exactly about the herd conversation, how in order to be the best that you can be as a dentist, you are not allowed to be the herd. You have to be the exceptional one. And it's the same thing. This was teaching the dentist how to be exceptional, how by being exceptional, the patients will feel that the type of care you give them, it is the best that they have the possibility of receiving. As we're today being Black Friday, if anybody out there wants to be part of the herd, just go out on a Black Friday at 7 o'clock in the morning with everybody waiting online and look around. Do you want to be like those people? Is that what you really want in life? Or do you want to find the individual person that you are and the wonderful person that you are on the inside and start doing a little bit of soul searching within yourself and start finding your light, your soul, whichever, you know, every possible way of saying it. There's so many, it depends on who's saying it, but pretty much everybody in spirituality, we all believe in the same thing. It's just, everybody uses a different word for it. But at the end of the day, that light that you find, and it doesn't come automatically and it doesn't all come right away. It trickles down and slowly you have to push away the clouds in order for the light to come through, and there's more and more. That feeling of pure happiness, you don't need all the other things.
But that's what's exceptional about you and your work is you, for one thing, you do have this perception to see into a person's inner light, and you don't treat people with the, like if they come in and they present to you a hollowness, like I want a Christy Brinkley smile. You're a type of individual who's strong enough to say, do you really want this for yourself?
No, I say no. Like I'm very adamant about it. If it's not possible, Bryce, you can't yes people. You know, this is unfortunately what happened to Michael Jackson. He had his whole entourage, everybody just, you know, there are people around that all they're going to do is yes you all day long. And at the end of the day, they don't really want the best for you. They just want you to be happy so they can be happy. And so they go ahead and they just yes, 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 yes. That's not it. If it's not right, my job and my passion that I have for what I do, If it's not right for you, I am going to tell you whether you like it or not. I am honest, and that's the way every single doctor should be. Honesty is the best policy, and if you tell people what they want to hear, that's how mistakes happen. That's
right.
How people get the wrong treatments, or they go to quack doctors. I mean, how many people go into Tijuana to get plastic surgery and cosmetic, you know, dentistry, and, or abroad into Caribbean and South America? Because they've been to three doctors in the United States, and they said no. How do people turn out looking like Michael Jackson? Because there are people that yes them, and they, well, you know, I want to do another surgery on my nose. Your nose is falling off. I can't do another surgery. Okay, so then they go to someone else who will say, oh, yeah, for $250,000, oh, yes, Michael, we will do your nose. You know what? Look at the way he looked at the end. That's
right.
Because people yes for the wrong reasons. Those are not people with integrity, with honor, with self-respect. Those are people that all they want to do is make the mighty green dollar.
How do you feel? I live in Arizona, and I'm aware of a lot of people who go down to Mexico to have work done on their teeth. And I remember about 6 months ago, a woman had gone down, and the dentist in Mexico had stuck some kind of metal pieces up in her jaw. And when she came back, her entire face was infected, and she was trying to raise another, I think it was over $20,000. It would cost $20,000 to fix what had happened in Mexico. What's your take on that?
All right, well, first and foremost, being assistant professor at NYU, let me explain some things to you. If you study abroad, okay, now you have to do a full 3 years of dental school over again. 3 years, okay? Even though you've had a degree from some other country, it doesn't matter from where. And the reason for that is because when I started teaching, it was 1 year, then it went to 2 years. Now they brought it up to three. The quality of medical and dental schools around the world are nowhere near to American standards. The other thing that you have to be very, very careful about is the fact that if you're going into a foreign country, how do you know that person's certified? How do you know that person's certified? They can put a diploma on their wall written in Spanish that could be as fake as a 17-year-old going down, you know, 42nd Street and getting a fake ID. So first and foremost, are they really a doctor? Are they truly, you know, specialized in what they're doing? From what it sounds like to me is either the woman had an implant or some sort of a root canal. I'm just speculating, of course. And the other thing is, how do you know whether their instruments are properly sterilized? You know, in my office, we use sterilizing bags. The instruments stay in the sterilizing bags, sealed. They're opened in front of the patient, just like they are in the operating room, just like they are in any dental school in the United States. It's not like the instruments are out on the bracket table where, you know, it gets the windows open and a fly goes in and it's on the instruments. You don't know whether they sterilize them under proper autoclave conditions. For all you know, they could have been boiling them in hot water. And most probably why she did get an infection was because of the instruments not being sterile. I hate to tell you this.
Yeah, and she was, it made her very, very ill to where it was, if she didn't raise this money, it was possible that she could pass away from this.
Oh, yeah. Well,
that bad.
You don't understand. Dental, first of all, you have to understand that if you have any type of dental infections and it passes through your blood, you can die from a blood infection, and that is fatal. That is fatal. Because the bacteria that are in your mouth are not allowed in your bloodstream. So basically, if she had gotten this infection and it passed through the bloodstream, yeah, that's, and you don't have much time. It's like it's got to be caught in a couple of days. It's like not as bad as meningitis, not as quick, but it's still, it can, in a week, it could be done. And it all depends what strands of bacteria that, you know, you get It also, you can die from, you know, bacteremia the same way. If you have any type of mitral valve, if you've got any type of stents, anything that the bacteria can adhere to inside your bloodstream, and you've got to be very careful. It's going abroad and having procedures done, whether it's dental or medical, I think you're putting your life in your own hands. I think you're taking an unnecessary risk, and hopefully with, you know, getting medical care in this country passed where everybody's entitled to it, which I really believe in, that everybody's entitled. You should get free medical, and if you choose to go private, I mean, I'm private, I don't take insurance. If you choose to go private, that is your choice, but everyone should have the right to have free medical and not sit there and not have insurance. And if your child is sick or you're sick, not go to a hospital because you can't afford the $2,000 a day, what it costs. That's $2,000 a day to be in a hospital in the United States, average out.
Yeah, it's pretty outrageous.
You know, and this way, if everybody gets subsidized, look at it. In Europe, everybody has it. Everybody goes to the hospital. Everybody goes to private, you know, to clinics that are subsidized by the government. And end of story. They get basic medical. If you want to go to the best heart surgeon or the best cosmetic dentist, that's your right to go if you can afford it. But you should be able to get that care on a basic level for free. And I hope nobody's going to get me for this, for saying this out of the doctor.
No.
I'm a firm believer in that.
No, that's our whole healthcare system is outrageous because I've seen so many people lose everything to a sudden stroke or car accident, and it's a fear. It's one of those fears that we have in America. You know, we just hope that this, you know, we live precariously because a stay in the hospital is. I used to have a friend. Well, she's still my friend, but she moved to Grants, New Mexico. She was a Navajo and Tarahumara Indian, very beautiful woman who's also an artist named Carmelita Little Turtle. And she was a nurse, the head nurse up in Flagstaff in the emergency ward. And one day her husband was brought in, who's a very famous artist named Ed Singer. And he had ran off a snowy road, and they brought him in. She stayed at that hospital every single solitary day because she determined what he needed and what he didn't need because she knew the cost would be outrageous. Like bringing in a pair of socks, she said, if I wasn't there and they gave him those socks,
they're $60.
She said, right.
And you know why? You know why, Bryce? Because the whole system was allowed to milk Medicaid until, that's why we're bankrupt, because they were milking Medicaid. Medicaid is what the government paid. Everybody's allowed, if you go into the emergency room, you can get temporary Medicaid. I don't know if the listeners out there know, but you can apply for temporary Medicaid, which is just for that one procedure, not forever, and they're not going to give it to you for 6 months or so. But for that procedure, if you don't have money, honestly, I have to do research on it. I think it's you got to make under $35,000 or $30,000 a year to be able to qualify and not have health insurance. Please don't quote me on this because it's been a long time and I don't remember the numbers. But the thing is, everything got so hyped up because there were so many people that didn't pay their bills, that had no money, that the hospitals were in negative, that they basically just decided to charge astronomical money for ridiculous things. And this is how this vicious circle got to be to where they are. I mean, they've been people in the press now that have been arrested and are in jail because they fraudulently charged Medicaid. I mean, there was a dentist in New York, Bryce. Okay, you ready for this? Can you explain to me how in one day, okay, ready, one day, how can one person with two hands, okay, do 1,500 fillings? I'd like to know, because honestly, I've been doing this for 19 years, and it's like, I'd like to know how that person can do 1,500 fillings. He's in jail right now, but how do you do that? It's impossible.
Yeah, besides being an octopus.
Okay, that's impossible. So could you explain to me why was Medicaid paying this man almost $2 million a year? You don't realize that you're getting billed for 1,500 fillings a day by one person? Are you like, doesn't your computer system, like, don't you have like an Excel, a ledger sheet of what the production is per this person? I don't know how much they pay off the top of my head. Let's say they pay $20 a filling, right? $1,500 a day. Don't you, like, isn't there like a red flag in your computer that, like, how does this person do 1,500 fillings a day?
Right.
And that's not talking about the crowns and, you know, the extractions and stuff. Like,
wow.
Hello?
That's extraordinary.
That's why Medicaid and Medicare is in bankruptcy. That's why we're in the red, because they got so overcharged.
Exploited.
Yes, by the treadmill people. You know, that never got off to smell the coffee.
Right. So, we have to emphasize for people to treat themselves as an individual, get individual treatment that matches with the energy of who you are. Don't go for the mass marketing, because it's not individual treatment. It's a conveyor belt. Pia, how can people get in touch with you?
Well, my website, first and foremost, my website is drlieb.com, and I want to come back on air, and I'd love to get some either emails with questions or call-ins if anybody has any questions that they're not sure of. And if I can help, I'm not saying that I have all the answers, because I most probably don't. But if I don't have it then and there, I will get back to you when I do have it. So no need to worry on that note. So I don't know. Are you back on next week, Bryce? Or do you want me to take it over? Or I guess we can talk to everybody. Maybe I'd like to do during the week. I think that would be better than the weekend.
Okay.
But
I
think that would be great to have, like, almost like a blogging situation. And then I will get my blog up within a very short time, since I came up with the idea on the plane coming out here this Wednesday. I will start blogging, and then people can start writing in their questions, and hopefully we can take the questions and the answers, and people can come on, and we can just mix all that together. I think would be a great cocktail.
With no alcohol. Okay, I just got the signal. We gotta wrap it up.
Okay.
Pia, thank you so much. And
thank you.
And we'll list over BDS when you're coming back on again. Maybe it'll be next week. But
okay,
thank you so much. And enjoy
thank you.
Your
Bye.
Bye.